Welcome back to another year of the Nothing Catchy Fantasy Football League. I'm joined here with Jake. We are a commissioner and co-commissioner here. We are starting to figure out how we want to have this league set up, and I'm really excited. We've been actually talking for probably about an hour now already, just kind of getting all of our details put together so that you guys can listen to the episode, throw in your feedback for what we are going to be talking about and potential changes, and then we'll make the official changes later. So first off, how's your offseason been, Jake?
My offseason, you know, really good. I got the guys locked in, focused. Me and my team have been doing lots of scouting, game planning, and we're pretty hyped for the season three. Is this going to be season three of this incarnation of the Nothing Catchy League, I want to say?
I think so. I think our first year was a little rough. We were not in the Sleeper app the first year.
That's right.
And then second year we were, and this is our second year in Sleeper. Hopefully everybody still likes the platform, and we'll kind of go from there. So
awesome. First
off, what we'll be doing for anybody who's listening in the league and jumping on, things that I've been working on is I threw together a Nothing Catchy Fantasy Football bylaws. Pretty much just writing out the rules, what we're thinking, just kind of like overall what we want out of the league. I'll be able to update it as well each year, each offseason, so you can constantly come back and refer to it. But it just makes it a little easier to know as you're going through the year, should I make this trade? Should I not? What does it mean? What's the bigger ramifications to everything? Because the more we play and the more we tweak the rules, sometimes the more complicated it can get. And some people like complicated and some people don't, but we want to make sure that everybody has the same amount of opportunity to understand the rules, to put forth their best team and not feel like they are just completely unaware of what the rules are. So kind of like going through that, the big thing that we wanted to talk about we're going to talk about positions. We're changing how the team rosters are made up. There was a lot of conversation at the end of last year about how we don't want defenses. We don't want kickers. They're too fluky. They're too, you know, you could have a kicker go off and all of a sudden you lose because they decided to put up a 23-point game. And so we wanted to try to tweak it a little bit, adjust it. And what Jake and I kind of came up with, and let us know at the end or in the comments in the Discord if you like this one. So the first thing we're going to do is we're changing the league breakdown to have one QB, two running backs, two wide receivers, two flexes. And these flexes are going to be your typical wide receiver, running back, and tight end flexes. And then we're taking out the tight end position as well, and we're going to make it a tight end and or wide receiver flex position. So one of them, you can potentially roster an entire team without a tight end now. The main reason for that is we want to make sure that people, if you don't get the top tight end, you're not screwed either. And then the last piece that's interesting is we're taking out the kicker and we're taking out the defense and we're putting in an IDP, which is an individual defensive player. That individual defensive player can be a linebacker, can be a defensive line player or a corner or indoor safety. So any of those positions, you can pick them up. Jake, do you want to kind of talk real quick about what the scoring situation is for the IDP so people can kind of get a general idea of what that position might be scoring on a weekly basis?
Yeah, absolutely. So for the, and I believe you just said it, we're going to start, if we don't have any pushback from other league members and everything, we're going to have one IDP position, one defensive player position on the roster?
Yeah.
Okay. So scoring, here's a quick little scoring breakdown. If your defensive player on your roster gets a touchdown, 6 points. If they get a sack, 6 points. That may sound like really generous scoring, but Mike, when we were doing our research, what did we find out as far as what were defensive players kind of averaging? What was the high end of defensive players that would average?
Yeah, so we found a website that kind of gave us a good idea to kind of look it over. And it looks like the average is around 16 points. 16 was on the high end, but you would have people from the top. Hold on. Oh, actually, I'm going to do the... Oh, I can't sort it by average. Maybe I can. Click it again. So players that are scoring 14 or more points is 16. There's 16 players last year that scored 14 to 16 points on average, which is a pretty close spread. And it means that everybody should have a chance to get a good player. It may take a little while because, honestly, looking at this list, there's some names on there that I'm like, what? Like Ernest Jones IV. He was the eighth. He was eighth best on average, and he was with the Los Angeles Rams. So it might take a little bit of research to get, but also we didn't want to have two positions in there right away, because one person doing this first year may do tons and tons of research and find the top two people, and then we're back to square one where whoever has the two best defensive players on averaging is all of a sudden dominating games. So we want to just test it this year with one.
Yeah.
And if it goes well, we may expand it to two, or maybe even just instead of doing individual, we'll have one linebacker, one defensive line, and one corner. But that's for future leagues. Right now, we're just testing the water with the defensive player.
Yeah, yeah. So, and like Mike was saying, I'd probably recommend you do a little bit of research on who you want to be your defensive player, because it's actually not. Let me try to read off the top 10. I'm not sure if this is sleeper scoring. This may actually be slightly different, but this gives you a general good idea. Do you know how to say that top guy's name? Foyusade Olukun? Olukun?
That works for me.
Foyusade Olukun, who's a linebacker with Jacksonville. He was the top scorer for individual defensive players. He scored a total of 275 points, so his average was 16. And now number two is TJ Watt, who's a player you'd probably expect. And you have Winfield Jr., Bobby Wagner's tied at fourth, Khalil Max there at seven, Quincy Williams, number eight, TJ Edwards, number nine, so on and so forth. You guys can look this stuff up. But another kind of interesting thing I'm looking at here is that nine of the top 10 are linebackers.
Yeah.
And number three, Winfield Jr. is a safety with Tampa. So your best bet is to probably try to scoop up a linebacker if you're trying to play this smart. But sorry, I digress. Back to scoring. Other than that, a hit on quarterback, and this is all, as I read this, this is all the standard for sleeper league. So if we have any qualms or issues with their breakdown, just in the Discord chat, let Mike and I know, and we can take a vote on changing this if we feel like some of the scoring is too aggressive or not enough. Hit on quarterback, 1 point. Tackle for loss, 2 points. Blocked punt, PAT or field goal, 3 points. An interception will get you 6 points. So if you can get a ball hawk, safety or corner, you know, that could be your bread and butter if you get someone with a lot of INTs. Fumble recovery, 3 points. Forced fumble, 3 points. A safety will get you 3. Assisted tackle, 1 point. A solo tackle, 2 points. And a pass defended, 3 points. They have some extra optional like types of plays that you could add points for. Like, for example, 50 or more yard interception return touchdown bonus. They have it defaulted to 0, but theoretically, if you wanted to get zany with it, you could be like, oh, they had a massive interception return for a touchdown, 78 yards. They get an extra 2 points, but it's 0 for now. I think we'll probably, Mike, leave it just 0 for now. Okay.
Yeah, I think so.
So yeah, that's the default for scoring for your IDPs. And I can share this in the chat, or even you can just put in IDP sleeper scoring and you'll find this probably the first or second result.
Yeah. So that's the first one that we want to talk about, is just mainly the positions that we're changing and how that works. The next thing I want to talk about was talking about like draft or the keepers, excuse me. Like, so how that works again. Because we have this off season where we have implemented the keepers, everybody gets to keep their choose one keeper. We don't have a deadline set on that yet. I think Jake and I were chatting, and we may push that deadline out to like August, just before the league start. And we can, you know, just before we draft, we can have the keepers locked in and give people time, especially this first year as we're kind of feeling it out. Maybe we'll tighten it up later to create a strategic advantage to make your decisions earlier. But yeah, the idea with the keeper is in the bylaws. And by the way, we'll be posting these bylaws in the group chat once we get them finalized, so you can actually look at it. Maybe even invite everybody to this so they can actually look at it and stuff like that in person on a computer. But we have the actual rotowire.com is the ADP website that we'll use. So the day that everything's locked in, we'll be able to look and see what everybody's keeper and what draft picks they give up. So here's some examples on how this works. So you're going to look at your roster that you currently had last year. You'll say, hey, I want to keep, I don't know, we'll say Tyreek Hill. And then you can go to this website, because this is the same website we will all use to determine it. Because if you go to many different websites, the ADP is going to vary. And so it's best that we just choose one as our reference. If we want to change that at a later date, toss in one that you think might be more accurate.
Which website are you using, Mike?
It's rotowire.com. So it's
RotoWire. Okay.
Yeah. So rotowire.com. And I have a link in there, and it has football and everything set up in there. Go over here. Actually, yeah. So let's say I want to keep Tyreek Hill. So right now I'm on the website. I type in Hill. Currently, he is you look at the dynasty ranking, because they have underdog and they have sleeper, and then sleeper under dynasty. So I figure we should go by the sleeper dynasty ranking, unless you have if you think differently, Jake. It might be better to just do the sleeper in general, because that is a higher ranking one, and that's kind of like a redraft. If you're redrafting players every year, what do you think we should go by?
I'm sorry. I was reading a little something there. I apologize. I was a little zoomed out. What exactly is the question?
So on this website, RotoWire, they have two different categories for sleeper, for showing what the ADP is. Yeah. And one of them is dynasty sleeper, or the other one is a redraft sleeper, or just regular sleeper. The regular sleeper right now has Tyreek Hill being drafted as the fourth player off the board, which I think is probably more accurate to a redraft and to what we would be doing. A dynasty, though, has him ranked at like 11.8. So
yeah, I wouldn't do I think regular is that.
Yeah.
You do agree on that? Because we're not. Dynasty is so different. I think that of the two, that's closer to what we do with the one keeper. Yeah.
So right now it has Tyreek Hill as a 4.6 ranking for position being drafted. So that's obviously in the first round. So if I wanted to keep Tyreek Hill, I have to give up my second round pick. So the idea is you get the benefit of choosing or finding that player, and your perk for doing that and keeping that player is you get their average draft position plus a round. Is that the one you lose? So you don't lose them at their value. You actually gain value by doing this way. Now, where it gets a little complicated, some people have a harder time knowing what draft pick they give up. I'll do like Rashid Rice, for example. He's currently set as a sleeper ranked at 53. So you'll just go to your calculator. You'll type in 53 divided by the amount of players we have in our league, which is 12. We plan to have a 12-man league. It comes out to 4.41. So his value is a fourth-round pick. So what I will give up is a fifth-round pick because of it. Now, it doesn't matter if your number comes out at 4.999999, still going to be a fifth-round pick. It doesn't matter if it's a 4.11111, it's going to be a fifth-round pick. You just look at that first number, figure out what the round is that you'd be in, and then just add one round to be able to determine it. Now, we have started having some times where people have been trading picks. So at the end of last year, we had people trade. So some people will have more than one pick, and other people will have hardly any picks. Poor Matt. Matt, you got a rough spot right now.
Sorry, dude.
But what that means is when you look at your roster, if you say you find a player, we'll use me again as example. I have Tyreek Hill on my roster. He's currently ADP is a first round, so I have to give up my second round to be able to get it. I do not currently have a second round pick, so I cannot keep Tyreek Hill. I can't give up my first to keep Tyreek, and I cannot give up my third to keep Tyreek. It's just not fair. I don't feel like to be able to do that. The only exception would be if we wanted to make it to where you could keep him at their ADP if you don't have a draft pick. But I still feel like it's better to think ahead and look further ahead in the process personally. So the current drafting process is you need to look and see what draft picks you have. I know on Sleeper it's a little complicated to know or hard to find that information. So I've actually transposed it into the bylaws right now, and I need to update it because I actually hadn't made a mistake initially. We have it put in there, and if you don't have a pick, I have it highlighted in red. So like for me, I have a first round, but then I don't have a second, and I don't have a ninth or a tenth. Jake, for example, he has a first. He has 2 seconds, 2 thirds, 2 fifths, 2 sevenths, two ninths, two tenths, two elevenths. So he's going to have a lot of players to have to drop at the end. But that's because he sold a lot last year. And so, again, it kind of comes into that advantage of being like, hey, I'm going to sell. I know I'm not going to make anybody this year. I'm not going to go far this year, but I'm going to hopefully win next year. And I'm putting all my chips in next year's basket kind of a thing. So
that's I have a question. Yeah. I have a question for you, Mike. And I hate to be picking on Matt here as an example, but since he doesn't have, if I'm looking at this doc right, he doesn't have a 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, or 7.
Yes.
Is he kind of boned as far as a keeper? Like how does that work? Because if he wants to keep someone,
well, let's look at his team real quick.
Okay.
So league. Matt, what was his team name? Do you remember what his team name? Oh, Coupe de Goff. That was his name. So looking at his team right now, he has, he has some higher people and some lower people here. So he has Jared Goff. He has Alvin Kamara, Derrick Henry, Stephon Diggs, Debo Samuel, Waller, Chandler, Smith, Dicker, Stroud, Aaron Jones. So let's find, who do you think might be, let's look up Cooper. Let's just see where Cooper is right now in this ADP. Okay. Half point PPR. Load. I pushed Cooper. So Cooper, Amari Cooper right now has him ranked at 55. So again, that's a fourth round pick. So he couldn't keep Amari Cooper. So we got to find a player that he on his team that's worse than Amari Cooper probably. Let's say Adam Thielen. Thielen.
That might have to be his keeper.
Currently, Adam Thielen is his ADP is 131. So, oops.
That's like somewhere in the 7th or 8th, right?
Let's bring up a calculator here. 131 divided by 12. It's a 10th round. He'd give up his 11th if he wants to keep him. I will say you don't have to keep anybody. If you don't want to keep a keeper, say you don't have the ability to, and the ones you do have, you're like, I really don't want to waste a pick on them. I think you shouldn't have to keep a keeper if you don't want to. It's not like going to be a forced thing on you. Adam Thielen, somebody he could potentially keep. Let's look at, he could probably keep a defense if he wants to, like Rams. They don't have defense on this website. So, if you want to keep a defense, you'll have to talk to Jake and I. We may just take your last pick. Whatever defense you want, kind of a thing. Looking at it, he might have a harder time. He has some interesting QBs, like Goff right now. Let's see if Goff is a good one. If you could keep Goff. Yeah, Goff is 107th right now. So 107 divided by 12. Ninth, he'd give up his ninth round pick. If he thinks Goff is going to be a good one, he could keep him for a ninth, which isn't necessarily a bad idea for him. But hopefully that answers your question. He doesn't have to keep anybody. But at the same time, Matt, right now, there is still some extra strategy here because, like I said, Jake and Vladdy Daddy, both have more picks than they're going to be able to roster at the end of the draft. So they're going to draft all these people, and then they're going to have to cut a bunch of people at the end. So their last picks that they're doing are mainly just going to be slough picks to try to either get people to trade with them later or block people from getting certain things. So like if they know, oh, Mike still hasn't got a QB, we're just going to draft QBs on the last picks just to screw over Mike, right? They could easily do that. But you could also – you have a valuable asset as your number one pick. You could say, hey, Jake or Vladdy, I'm going to give you my number one for your two twos and a ninth.
Yep.
You know? So then you'll get some value back. You may not be picking first, but now you're going to get more assets. This is where the whole strategy starts to get in and fun of the game comes in my opinion.
And Matt, I hope Matt was listening to that because that is how he could – that's how he could
come back.
Yeah, he could make a comeback there. That would really help him.
That ties me into my next point. Draft order. Knowing where you draft is important to be able to know where you want to trade for your pick. Because of that, tying into the next thing, we had a long conversation afterwards of where do people draft? Like, how do we determine the draft order? And I think we're still up in the air. So really, truly, please, anybody who listens to this, please give your feedback in the group chat and Discord, because I think this will probably be the hardest one for us to all agree on. But I do think we should have our draft order based upon the end of the season, including playoffs. Mm-hmm. So what that would mean is who lost this last year?
Who lost?
Was it you? Yeah. Who got last place? Was it you or me?
Who? Because I think the season we just finished, who got last?
Yeah, you. It was me.
Yeah, you beat me in the toilet bowl.
So Jake right now has the number one overall pick and all these picks. So good luck to all of us, really. But he has the number one overall pick. Matt, I think you are probably gonna be fourth or fifth, which is still a high ranking pick. So you could probably still do some finagling. You probably not with Jake, maybe more with Vladdy Daddy.
But he could take, like you were saying, dude, he could take that. He has a first round pick right now, right?
Yes, he does.
He could trade that to someone and get like two or three picks in the, like someone might be willing to trade there for his, like me. Maybe I'd be like, hey, Matt, I'll trade you your first round and you can have my third and fifth round picks. And there he's got two now that he can work with instead of having none. I don't know. There's ways to finagle this if he gets clever with it.
Yeah. And I do think, though, this also means in the future, not necessarily this offseason, we'll have to keep a close eye on it. But in the future, we want to set our keepers beforehand so that you guys know, hey, I'm keeping Rice, for example. I give up my fifth round pick. When I'm negotiating with people, I know I can't give up my fifth round pick, or else I'm also giving up Rice mm-hmm. and I can't keep him. Mm-hmm. So again, knowing all these things is really important and valuable for all the strategy to it down the road. So that's kind of how the breakdown of the draft order is. We are currently planning and thinking the best option will be to do end of season, including playoffs, unless we get a lot of feedback that says, no, please don't do that. Do end of regular season. Do you have a preference or a statement?
No. I mean, like you said, we'll do it. If we want to vote on it, we'll vote on it if it comes to that. But like the NFL, they base these things off of where you placed, including the playoffs, right? That's why the Chiefs picked last, because they won the Super Bowl. So I think it does make sense. So that means if you don't make the playoffs, is it determined by record, I'm assuming here?
No, I don't think it's record, because I think like I could have a better record but still get last place. So however you
place. What if you didn't make the playoffs though?
So if you don't make the playoffs and you go into the loser bracket mm-hmm. and then that's right. all feed it out that way.
You're so, right. Okay, so it's perfect. That makes it really easy for us because just your placement, your final placement. I completely forgot about the loser's bracket. Right. Okay. Or the toilet bowl as they call it. Yeah. real quick before I've been kind of wanting to loop back to this really quick and ask your thoughts, because we talked about, you went over our rosters, what they're going to be like. So a quarterback, two running backs, two wide receivers, two flexes, which is the same as last year. And instead of a tight end spot, we added a flex for a wide receiver or a tight end. So we basically took the tight end spot and made it so you can put a wide receiver in that spot. And then we added the individual defensive player, as you said. And we removed defense and kicker, correct?
Correct.
As is constructed, if that is what we decide on, that will mean we have one less starting position than we did last year. Does that sound fine? So how many did we start? How many were on our starting rosters last year? Was it 10 or 11? Was it 10 starters and five on the bench? I think that sounds right.
Pulling it up here. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. Oh, excuse me. It had already changed in the league. So it still has kicker in there too, by the way, FYI. So it would have been 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 total last year, and currently we will have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. So actually I think we're good.
Oh, is it it's the same? Okay.
Maybe it is one less. Yeah, math wise it makes sense that it'd be one less because we took out the tight end, made it that. As long as we had two flexes last year, I think we had two
flexes.
So I think that'd be fine.
Okay.
And because, I mean, you think about it, a lot of the kickers sometimes were scoring like 3 points. Mm-hmm. So I think you won't really notice a massive change in the overall scoring, I think. Yep. I think it will be probably about the same unless the defenses are crazy.
Do we want to add one to the bench to have six people on the bench?
I'd be fine.
Since we, I feel like I'm going crazy here. Maybe my math is wrong, but I thought we had 10 players starting every week. If you're looking at it right now and I'm wrong, just tell me I'm crazy. But I thought we had QB.
We had a QB. And then two running backs. And then two wide receivers, so we're at five.
Yep.
Then two flex. And then we would have a defense and a kicker. And then we took out the tight end. Oh, wait.
We're good. We took out two of those spots because we took out the defense, the kicker, and the tight end spot just became a tight end flex spot, and we added a defense. So we're at eight. We're at eight starters this season.
Yeah.
Are we cool? We're cool with that? With eight players?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay, but then my question is, do we want to still have the same amount of players on the roster so we add one more bench spot, or should we keep it at five on the bench?
I think currently I see on the bench we have six is what I see currently up there.
That's strange. It was five last year. I don't know why.
Okay.
Do we feel like
people were willing to trade with the five, or do you feel like if we get six, people won't really trade at all?
Okay. So you're saying five adds a little layer of strategy versus six.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. It adds strategy. It sucks because you have to drop people, on buys and stuff. Might encourage people to trade players if they don't want to drop them.
Okay, so that means that you will have, once the season starts, once you have your team, you'll go into the season with 13 players, correct? Eight starters and five on the bench?
Yes, I think that's correct.
Okay, 13. Okay, I'm going to go ahead and save this.
And we have an IR spot still as well. I think we need to keep that.
You're right. Yeah. Where's the option on there? Oh, this says 15. Oh, I forgot to remove the kicker. Okay, so that gives us 14. Maybe that's already counting. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, plus 5 is 14.
Okay.
Okay, perfect.
Nice. Okay, so moving on to some other topics that we discussed as well in the end of the offseason, the money up front. I know it's an awkward thing to talk about. Nobody likes talking about money. But we do think that it's important to have the money up front when we're doing this, mainly because of kind of what happened at the end of last year with Dion kind of ghosting everybody. And then the fear of like, well, what if he wins but he ghosts him, or if he loses and stuff. And I don't even know. I mean, you'd know. Whoever won, did Dion ever give you his money? I'm guessing probably not.
He did, and it was Doug. And Doug said he never did. And I offered to pay up for Dion. I said, hey, I'll send you his money just so it's, we maintain the integrity of the league. But Doug was like, dude, don't worry about it. So
yeah, no, I think that's good. So yeah, I think it's important that whenever we do it, we'll put the money up front. Everybody will Venmo your money to Jake. Needless to say, if you don't put your money up and you win the league, you're not getting any money.
Yep. You'll probably kick him from the league too. No.
Yeah. No, I think if you get about halfway through the season and you still haven't paid, we may have to start having a serious conversation of like, either A, do we even want to have a buy-in league anymore, or is the $50 too high?
Yeah.
Or what's the deal? Right now we were wanting to do the buy-in because this is the best thing we can do in terms of gambling for some of us. Those of us who live in Washington, and can't actually bet on anything because it's a stupid state. But this is just one of those things where I feel like it's for the integrity of the league and what we're doing. I think it's important we do put the money up front, give it to Jake. If Jake ends up screwing us all over, we can all take it out of his hide later or whatever. So we all know where he works. So
That's right. So we're expecting, what do we think as far as, and I know this is getting real rigid here, but the thing is, we're all friends in this league, so I trust everyone. But is there any, like, if they haven't paid by week four, any sort of like, you need to pay up, or dude, you're not going to be able to play next year? Well, actually, I don't even think it's going to come to that. Let's just say this. If you don't want to pay, you shouldn't be in this league.
Talk to us.
Yeah, talk to us. Are you, I think earlier you said, hey, if you don't pay, just know you're not getting the prize pool at the end. Is that kind of the, right.
And I do think, though, I think people should still pay up because, like I said, I personally don't like dropping the 50. You know, I liked it when it was a $20 league, but I also fully extend that, like, hey, inflation happens. So, and all you have to do is win the league once. And if you win the league once, you're set with your fee for like 6 years.
Yep.
So, well, actually, technically 11 years, I guess.
Yeah.
If you go the actual math on it. So, really just win 1 year and then just enjoy the ride and use the money, for 11 more years of fun times. So.
Maybe you'll get lucky and win it again. You never know.
Exactly. Exactly. You can keep being ahead. Yep. But yeah, really truly though, if all of a sudden people are like, hey, I lost my job or, you know, whatever.
Sure.
You know, please talk to us about that kind of stuff. I hope that doesn't happen to anybody, but like we're not going to, if you lose your job, we're not going to kick you out of fantasy league either. You know what I mean? So
our expectation is you pay upfront here within the first week or two of the league starting.
Correct.
I think we can kind of leave it at that. At this point, Dion was the person I knew probably the least out of everyone in the group. And so it's unfortunate that, you know, that came back to bite us and he ghosted and refused to pay up, but so be it. At this point, I know and trust and have a legit relationship, friendship with everyone in the league. So, I trust that that won't be an issue. Anyways, I'll leave it at that.
And I know we said it before earlier, but we are looking for one more person to replace Dion. So if anybody has a friend that they know that wants to get into it, do you have somebody already?
Yeah, actually, Matt said that his brother, who's a college guy, he went to, his name's Johnny. He said that he would be in. So as long as I'll confirm with Matt that he knows it's a money league and that he'd be willing to pay the 50 as well. And, Matt said that he would be active and engaged in the group chat and everything like that. So could be fun.
Cool. I guess we may not need anybody, but we'll let you know. We'll keep everything running on that. Next comment, commissioners changing lineup. This was an issue we had last year. Because we all are good people and we all want to think the best of people. And so, there's a few times where somebody forgot to put a lineup and Jake was a nice guy and would toss their lineup in real quick. And then that person would win. And then it makes an awkward situation for the person who's like, hey, I did my due diligence. I did what I needed to do.
Yeah.
And he got a free pass and got a free win. Like, it's not fair in my opinion to do that. Now if for some reason there's a situation where you're camping and you don't have cell reception or something and something crazy happens and you're able to call one of the commissioners or put it in Discord real quick and be like, hey, I can't access this. Please fix my lineup right now before the game starts. That's different. Mm-hmm. But we are not going to retroactively go back and change people's lineups or put people in or anything like that. I think Doug put it the best. I think he was the one that talked about it. We're all grown-ups here and we're all playing a game. We have fully acknowledged that, but at the same time we have to have rules, we have to have parameters, and if you forget
and this is a money league, you know, we're playing for money. If you're not invested enough and you don't care about your money, so be it. Do want to note just for the record that the one time that I went in and commissioner subbed in players for a guy, it was by request of the opponent. Lige.
That's true.
Lige texted me and asked, he was like, hey, you can go ahead and sub in this person for, I forget who it was, but you can go ahead and swap him in for him. And he did that. And then if he didn't do that, he would have won. So he was like, man, I shouldn't have told you. I shouldn't have been the nice guy there.
Exactly. So we're just saying, hey, we're not going to do any of those kind of things.
Yeah. Within reason, we're not going to be, there's no, it looks like Juan didn't set his lineup. I'll go ahead and set it. I'm going to go and sub in his bye week for him. Nope, not doing it. Unless Juan told me, hey, Jake, I'm going camping this weekend. XYZ, I'm getting shipped overseas. You know, hey, anything. Yeah. In those cases, we can make exceptions, and I'll publicly make that known on the Discord chat. Hey, Juan's going to be out of town. He asked that I sub it in. He can't do it right now, just so y'all are aware, and we'll go from there. But the expectation is you set your lineup. This is a money league. If you don't want to do that, find a free league.
Yeah, exactly. And that kind of ties into the next aspect, the next piece that we're changing. And this one I'm most passionate about because of how it ended last year. But we are no longer going to allow vetoes in the trades and stuff like that. And they're going to be instant as well. It's not going to be one of those things where you trade and then you have to wait 3 days for the trade to go through. Like, when the trade happens, it happens, it's done, and you get the player, and there's no vetoes. Jake and I will be paying really close attention, though, making sure there's no collusion type stuff, no crazy funny business. The truth is, we're going to look at a lot of trades, and from our perspective of the trade, we are all going to be like, oh, man, Jake got freaking screwed in that trade, or, why did he give up that guy? I would have given him way more. Mm-hmm. And the truth is like, you didn't put the offer out.
Yep.
You didn't try to get the player. The key is you got to keep trying.
Yep.
And keep pushing for trades. And if somebody gets the player you've been wanting, but you never put out a trade for it, then I'm sorry. There's no takesies backsies. Go try to trade for that player again. Yep. And probably have to offer him more than the other way. The big thing was there was a big kerfluffle with my trade at the beginning of the year where I got Patrick Mahomes, I believe, and somebody else. It was some crazy trade. And oh yeah, because it was the Chubb situation. It was a trade that went through, and then Chubb got hurt. I think right afterwards, and it was like bang bang kind of a thing, and.
Sounds right.
There was all the vetoes, and I just said, hey, I'm fine vetoing. I understand how it looks for the time frame. It's not my ideal. The person accepted the trade, knowing information that was available at the time. But I didn't like the fact that it's not my fault that somebody got hurt right as a bang-bang trade happens.
Mm-hmm.
But again, being in a league where we all honestly are all good people, we were willing to adjust it and go from there. But it did feel a little bit more like the league was deciding that the trade couldn't happen. And if we're all in a big committee here trying to choose how people run each other's leagues, teams, then we're not actually, there's no advantage to it. It's like, well, toss it up to the committee, see if the committee accepts my moves. And if so, sweet,
Exactly. And this league is, we want it to be run in good faith and in fair competition. This is a league where you put $50 in. We're in good faith, assuming you're not trying to sabotage the league. You are, when you make a move, when you make a trade, you're doing it because you want to win your money back plus whatever it is, $450 up more dollars. We're not doing it. So in good faith, we just want to say these things just because it's good to have it kind of on the record and know that we're all on the same page. But like we trust the guys in this league, and the reason we had a veto, I don't really even know why we decided on, or why I set the veto to be a thing. I think it's just kind of historically in the leagues I've been in, we've had veto systems, because in the past I've been in free leagues and there has been an incident or two where people threw in the towel and, we're making unfair trades, stuff like that. But hey, this is a league where we're all paying. You're here and you're trying to win, and we're in good faith going to trust and believe that. So that's all I got to say, Mike. Sorry.
Yeah, no, you're doing great. So I think that wraps up all the major topics. Was there any that I missed that you could think of? If we're all good, I'll go through and run through them one more time so everybody has them fresh in their mind for when they type in the chat. But I just want to make sure I'm not missing one.
Money up front, commissioner in the lineup changes, trade vetoes, when the playoffs start. We talked about how we're going to switch to having an individual defensive player. How your rosters are going to look. We talked about keepers, how that works.
Mm-hmm.
I think you've hit on all of the major ones. If you want to just real quick.
The last thing, Jake and I later will determine what the keeper deadline is. Currently in the document, it says May 10th, but I think that's probably that's in 2 weeks. So I don't think that's really fair for people as we're starting to get back talking about everything. But yeah, that date will be changed or determined. Actually one more thing. Did we want to move the trade deadline? Was there a conversation about people wanting to bump the trade deadline to later in the league, or was that, do we like where it was? I liked where it was personally.
It was in an interesting spot. Oh, one more thing we got to remember to talk about is playoffs. How playoffs single elimination. You can go ahead and take it, Mike.
Yeah, so playoffs, we had some issues where we thought it would be fair to have the championship or the last game be over 2 weeks. in theory and in thought, that's a great idea. But what that did is it pushed the playoffs starting earlier, which meant that there were still teams that were getting into the playoffs, and that first round of elimination were dealing with bye weeks. Mm-hmm. And so then, and they're single eliminations. So like those first ones were single eliminations, and you're dealing with a bye week. And so the team getting in who has a bye week is getting screwed, only for the favor of the people who actually make it to the playoffs or the final round. So ultimately, there's really no way to make it perfectly fair, feel like. Unless we shift back to the idea that it's a single elimination regardless, and we don't go into week 18, so week 18 is not a thing. We're done by week 17. And then, yeah, with single elimination as you go. And that can push, I think, one more week of the regular season. Or maybe two. I can't remember if there was another.
It would be one more week of regular season. And then, yeah. Because it'll be a, let me get this right. It'll be a 13-week regular season. And then week 14. Oh, no, it'd be a four. Because there's how many NFL weeks? 18, right? Because there's 17 with buys. 18. And we're not going to do games that last week. So week 18. So that gives us 17. So it would be 14, 15, 16. So it'd be 14 regular season games. Then week 13, 14.
Or 15, 16, 15, 17.
16, and 17 would be the playoffs.
Yeah.
So the wild card round, divisional, championship, however you want to phrase it. So 14 regular season games, week 15, week 16, week 17, single elimination for the championship. It's tough because I know some people in the league really like the concept of doing like, I don't know, a 10 or 11 regular season, 10 or 11 week regular season, and then have every round, if not wild card single elimination, then divisional and championship be two week matchups. And I like that in theory as well. But like Mike was saying, you run into the issue then where you're battling what is fair, because you're having people who are in the playoffs with players on bye sandwiched between week 18, where a lot of the good teams that are contending that have star fantasy players rest them very often because they've already locked up their playoff position in the NFL. So you guys can kind of see the game we're trying to play here with balancing what is most fair. And I think Mike's conclusion that having the playoffs be single elimination week 15, 16, and 17 is the most objectively fair. Now, I know that there's a lot of contention and probably opinions on this. So again, if you guys have takes on this, and if we as a whole, as a league, decide, hey, we want to make for sure we have the championship be 2 weeks, or that's how it was last year. We had the championship be two weeks. Whatever we decide collectively, I think Mike and I are both in agreement that we'll hear it out. And if we're in the minority, then we'll go with what the group as a whole wants. But let us know your thoughts. And go ahead, Mike.
And it does create that strategy too. Like there is a certain, like if we go that route, I think what everybody needs to do is really know what your team's, what the NFL team's schedule is. And so if you're like looking at it and see that, we'll just say the Chiefs have a week 14 bye week that year, then your players of picking up Mahomes and Kelsey may not be actually the ones you want to rely on. You may want to try to find your other picks elsewhere, because you know you have to try to survive that first week. And if your two big gunners are out, you either better have the bye week and don't have to deal with it, or deal with the other aspect of not you having players that are on the bye week on your team. Because it's going to be harder to trade those players as well throughout the year, knowing that if they're going to be on bye week too. Like that's the other thing too, is in the middle of the season, if you have Mahomes and you're like, oh, I want to get rid of him for whatever reason, and he plays on that week 14, you're like, nobody wants to buy him. No one wants to pay that price, because they're going to have replace him anyway in the playoffs. So there is no value to him, or as much value. I agree. I think that trying to shift to the single elimination 15, 16, 17 is what would be ideal, but please, 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 everybody let us know.
Yeah, that's football, right? I mean, that's kind of what makes the NFL fun, is that the playoffs are single elimination. You know, this ain't no 7-game series. I think that there's a level of fun and excitement that comes with it being, I don't want to say luck based, because there is an aspect of luck, of course, but
yeah,
it's hey, that's what we've been doing for the whole season, is every week is your week, and playoffs continues that trend. One in you either are on for three consecutive weeks or you have a down week and you lose. You know, it's so be it. That's fantasy. Yeah. So, all right. Yeah. I'll send my piece on that.
And I think I had last year I had a pretty rough season because like I had some people on bye week on that week 14.
You did.
And I had people who had really bad matchups that week. So it was like one of my worst, lowest scoring. It's like, yep. Well, that's just how it rolled this year. You know, I should have looked ahead and tried to make a different adjustments, but
yeah.
But yeah, I think we've been going for a while now. I think we have enough information here. Like I said, I'll be posting in the Discord, probably in a few weeks as we fine tune it and get it cleaned up. The bylaws, so everybody can look at them, get an understanding. I'll also be posting in there these few topics that you guys can get feedback on. So as you listen to the podcast, I'll have it posted in there in the comment section so you can quickly remember, oh yeah, this is what we're talking about. This is the opinions that I want to give an opinion on, to make it easier for you guys. But just as a quick rundown, I'll hit every topic real quick. And so you can give your feedback accordingly. So roster changes, we plan, unless we get a lot of feedback, to do one QB, two running backs, two wide receivers, two normal flexes, which is going to be wide receiver, running back, tight end, and one flex that is replacing the tight end to be a wide receiver and a tight end flex, and then one IDP, individual defensive player. We are removing kickers and we're moving defenses all together.
And then we still have five bench spots.
Yes, and five bench spots. So that's the first thing. Second, keeper ADP. So just as a reminder, it's a keeper league. You're going to keep your player. Once we determine the date, that will help you determine your situation of who you want to pick. But you're going to pick your player that you're going to keep. You'll find out what your ADP is, and then you're going to give yourself one round. So if the person's ADP is a fourth round pick, you lose your fifth round pick. If it's the ADP player is a first round pick, you lose your second round pick. And again, if you do not have a pick to give up for that keeper, you cannot keep that player. And I have in the bylaws the current who has what keepers or what picks, because it is a little confusing to find on Sleeper. It is, you can find it. Just so everybody knows, if you want to find it real quick, when you log into it, if you're on the website, you go to the league, you click trades. At the very top, there's a line that says draft, team, league, player, trend, trades. And then click the purple trade box and it will show you what everybody has. And the person who is missing and doesn't have a team, they actually have all their picks because Dion didn't trade with anybody in the league last year.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Okay. So then the next order of topic is draft order. Unless we get a lot of feedback otherwise, we are planning to do the end of the playoff rankings for draft order. So if you got last place in the playoffs in the toilet bowl, you get the first overall pick. If you won the league, you get the 12th pick. And then it's accordingly from there. So if you're a runner-up, you're 11th, and then so on and so forth. So that way you can know and do some mock drafts if you're kind of wanting to practice who you would be getting and how drafts would be falling for you. Next, money up front. Unless we get a lot of pushback and everybody says, no, we don't want to put money up front, or all of a sudden everybody says they don't want to do a money league, that's fine. But we're going to do money up front, and we would like money in to Jake by week one or week two. We will give reminders as things come up, so don't worry about forgetting or stuff like that. Commissioner lineup, this is another thing. We will not be adjusting the commissioners will not be doing any sort of adjusting of the team unless there is extenuating circumstances that they notify us before the game starts to be able to swap them out. Trade vetoes. Vetoes will no longer be a thing. Again, if you have concerns or frustrations about a trade, please voice them to Jake and I. We'll have a conversation. We'll talk about it. We'll probably maybe even toss it back out to you if we are in disagreement on the situation. But we're not going to allow the team to do the vetoing votes. Also, trades will be instant as well. No wait time on that. Might want to double check to make sure the league is set up that way already, Jake, too.
Yeah.
And then finally, playoff structure. We're going to adjust the playoff structure again, unless we get a lot of feedback that says otherwise. We plan to do single elimination playoffs starting week 15, 16, and then 17 in hopes to try to avoid the week 18 terrible situation of teams not playing their starters and the week 14 issue of actual football people on bye week, trying to find that middle spot to make sure that it be fair across the board for everybody. With that being said, I think we'll wrap it up. We'll call it a day. And I really am excited about this season. I think it's going to be a lot of fun. And I don't think I'll start doing more podcasts, you know, until we get a little bit closer, but I might do one or two as things are kind of shaping up, kind of talking about different players I'm excited about, especially the rookies that are coming and potential fantasy implications for some of them. So I'm going to go check and see if we got our last seventh round pick with the Chiefs or not yet. I haven't seen anything pop through my phone. So
let's go.
Anything else you want to say?
No, just that I'm looking at the calendar and I'm like, oh man, season, it feels so far away still for when we start up, but I know once summer comes, time will keep flying by, and before we know it, it'll be late August, early September, and we'll be getting ready to do our draft and everything. So we'll be here soon.
Awesome. Well, with that, everybody, have a great rest of your day, and see ya.